Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. Well, hello, everybody. It's great to welcome you to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker-Large. And today I've got a very special guest with me because the person I'm interviewing today is somebody who we all need in our HMO developments, but we probably don't all use in our HMO developments. Her name is Fabienne. She is a property stylist and she specializes in designing interiors of investment properties. This is the niche market that Fabienne Miller works in, is helping you to get more return on your investment because of the design that she helps with when you're doing your development. So her sole purpose is to help you increase your occupancy rates and your rates of return using her skills. She's even recently won an international award for the best home staging transformation, which is amazing. So her vision is simple, to create places where people want to be. She's got a passion for color, for simplicity and refreshing design. And together, these make for creating uplifting interiors accessible to every investor. And not only does she do it personally, she teaches other people to do it too, so that more people can benefit on the impact that it has on their investment. She also runs a very successful Facebook group. It has over 4,000 members and has become the number one platform on Facebook related to interiors in property investment. And it's called the Staging Group for Investors. We'll put the link in the notes of the podcast so that if you want to join the group, you can just click on the link and go straight to it. She also runs a training program called Profit by Design, and it's ideal if you're a property investor that wants to use the skills, the techniques, and the ideas that Fabienne has developed over the last few years to enable you to get better return on your investment through excellent and innovative interior design. And I'm sure she'll tell us a bit more about that today. So Fabienne Miller, welcome to the HMO Success Podcast.
Wow, thank you. I almost got emotional listening to you.
Well, I think it's all true what I said. I mean, you told me and I just, tell everybody else.
I think hearing it from someone else sounds great. Thank you.
Well, Fabienne, it's really lovely to have you here today because you and I have, we've touched base in the past. We've known each other for a while. I had you as a webinar guest on my mentoring program. I think it was a few months ago now, actually. And, when I heard of the work you were doing, I really felt it's incredibly innovative what you do and your designs, which sadly we can't show to people on the podcast, but your designs are really phenomenal. And I felt that what you offer is something that's really quite different from what other people in the market are offering. So it's just lovely to have you. It's very refreshing. And
Thank you.
You are very much your own brand, which is, wonderful to see as well.
Thank you very much for having me. Yes.
So Fabienne, let me just start by asking you, how did you get started in interior staging and design?
It was never the plan. It was never what I studied. And somehow kind of happened. So I think so my background is in project management, is in chemistry. And I think what's been useful is applied actually some structure to a creative kind of career. So I think this is why probably I've actually helped myself with my past work, basically. After having kids, basically, I started in property a bit, doing deal sourcing. Then I was helping a service accommodation provider, and I was a property manager. And I had the chance to stage a property. Got given like a very small budget and started doing it. And at that moment, I mean, it's one of these things in life, I think it must have happened a few times where I thought, okay, that's it. So I was just brilliant because I was just straight away, I was in my element, just bringing life to a place, to making it welcoming. It was just fantastic. And I resigned because I knew that this is what I needed to do. So I put together this business called now Fabian Interiors, and I started. So most of the bulk of my business is in service accommodation, which I think is more, it's a category, it's a property investment strategy, which I think more naturally lend itself to looking into interior because of the experience they're trying to kind of convey. Where in HMO, and thank you very much for having me, I think it's still something that is not used enough somehow. So thank you, because I think it's something maybe just with paint, because I think with service accommodation, you've got furnishing and painting. In HMO, I think it's more maybe just using the paint element to bring life, to kind of bring an atmosphere to help, tenants to feel, welcome and in an environment that makes them feel good. So there we go.
No, that's really interesting. So it sounds like your background in project management was something you were probably very good at, and you delivered on time and to budget. So you had all those project management skills, but maybe it wasn't as creative as the interior styling side. And almost as when you became involved in property, you were able to ignite both parts of your personality, which is the creative design side. And you combine that with this ability to deliver. And I think that that combination is maybe quite unique because in my experience, I've worked with, creative people before. I mean, I kind of say that I'm a fairly creative person, but we do tend to sometimes be so caught up in the vision and the colors and the, the kind of ideas that we maybe don't deliver to time and to budget. And that can be frustrating for the people that we are working with. Whereas somebody who is perhaps a bit more focused on design, on time and budget might not be so focused on design. So you've got this unique kind of crosshair of skills there, Fabienne. And that must help you a lot in your work.
Yes, and it's funny because I never, it's only as I started and started delivering project that actually, as much as I regretted, also I wish I started earlier because I was so much in my, in my natural habitat. But realized that actually my background, which I was working for, large corporate companies doing leading managing, million pounds project, where actually that was what I needed to do to be able to deliver a good project in a creative environment. So not only for project, I think it's been a fantastic help for me, but now I'm doing a training again because I've got a very structured mind, which I think was not natural. It's something I've learned through my career. I've managed to basically almost kind of dissect all the creative bit and put kind of structure and form and process to it. And I think this is why also the training, I offer, I think it gives something a bit different because there's structure to madness, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's what people need and want, isn't it? That they need something which is going to be structured so it doesn't feel overwhelming. And if they're not naturally design oriented, they can very simply take step-by-step instructions from you and guidance to learn the process. So
Exactly, exactly.
I think that's a very, very powerful approach. So when you first got started, you were doing serviced accommodation, but you've kind of branched into HMOs a little bit since then. Is that right?
Yeah, well, actually, so I started, so as I was doing property management, I was in service accommodation, but like my first project was in for an HMO, a 10-bed HMO. So I've done, as I said, so the bulk of it in terms of client base, I can see it's mostly service accommodation. HMO, like stage to sell, are kind of the minority, but both of them, even if it's very different, what they need when I talk about paint is using, for instance, the decorating to, for instance, manipulate the space perception to help people to visualize themselves, to create almost like zones within the room. Sometimes, you've got a narrow room, so how do you use paint to actually, create, like help the space to feel different? Also, what you want to do, it's use paint to create interest in a room that is, I would say a bit boring. So paint is, especially in HMO where you don't necessarily want to use prints or things like that, because you want to leave it a bit to the tenant to put his own stamp, but you want to have a bit of a frame, a bit of a, you know, something they can work on, basically a base for them to feel good, and they just can put their personality a bit on that.
Well, that idea of zoning spaces, I feel it's very powerful, Fabienne, and I haven't heard of anybody apart from you talk about that, although maybe if I was to delve more into the world of interior designers, I might see that, you know, this is a, you know, just this is kind of basic knowledge for you guys, but it certainly wasn't for me. And interestingly, we had our we had a house extension this year, and we were talking about the colours to use. Well, really, it was, when I say we, it was me and the decorator who were talking about it. It was nobody else in the family. And I wanted it to be a very nice light and bright extension. It blends with the kitchen. But we've got a little area where we've put a television and we've got some chairs, and it's a little snug area. And using what you had taught me, we decided to paint this small area of the kitchen in a completely different colour. It's a colour from Farrow and Ball, which I love, called Vardo. It's a kind of deep teal colour. Mm-hmm. And I think the decorator, he was great, by the way. He was very open to my ideas, which is what you need. You don't want somebody who says, oh, I don't like that colour paint.
You're lucky.
Why are you doing that?
I get decorator who keep challenging me. He didn't tell me. Yeah.
Well, this guy, probably because he thought, basically, you're paying me, Wendy, so I will do what you want me to do, whatever my personal feelings are about it. But he painted this area, and there's a little bit of a wall of return. In fact, I might put a picture up so that you can see this on the video recording. And it was your idea that made us do it. And I think it looks amazing. I think it just looks so good because it creates this little snug area that doesn't... It makes it separate from the overall rest of the space, because the rest of the space is painted in a very nice shade of white. It's called Wimborne White by Farrow and Ball, but this particular area is got this contrasting color, and it just kind of separates this area of the kitchen. And that was an idea I learned from you. So
lovely.
You know, there we go.
And, you know, when we talk about HMO, and if you think, you know, like student HMO, for example, and you think about the room, which is basically their house, you know, in a sense, where they're going to live, the same principle applies, where you want to almost feel that within your, you know, like 12 square meter room, you've got your bed, but also you've got your desk, your desk area, which feels like almost you're moving to a different room, and you don't have the walls. The only way to almost create this imaginary separation, it's using paint. So nothing stops you from somehow, this different way of doing that, using paint and color to create a separate section in the room that feels like, okay, this is the office area and this is the bed area. So the same applies in small rooms.
And paint is one of your core tools, isn't it?
Yeah.
How did you come to that kind of realization about the power of color and paint?
That was, I've always somehow kind of connected strongly with colors. And there was a trip I posted on Facebook the other day about that. I came across a photo which reminded me of a trip in Morocco. In fact, I think I talked about it in your webinar. And it was in Morocco, and it was a place, it's called Jardin Majorelle. And it was, using, oh my goodness, like ultra blue and yellow and bold green, you know, vibrant color. And what was, I remember vividly visiting this place and really being hit by this notion of mixing vibrant colors and creating this strong emotion, you know, that actually, you know, despite what we think of using, you know, like muted tones and not, you know, try to not, you know, alienate anyone with choices of color, actually there is power in that, the way it makes you feel. So I think it was the first kind of almost acknowledgement that actually you can use color in a different way. And then I had my first flat I was living in London back then. Oh my goodness. Plus I was single, which was amazing because I could do whatever I wanted.
Yes, no one to consult.
In fact, the first thing I did, I had this long corridor, and I remember creating in this long corridor, this what I called the Moroccan corner. In fact, probably came from that trip, and I had like purple and like this yellow ceiling, and I put some yellow curtains, and I just it started basically this notion of creating almost an experience using colors, because for me it was about that. It was using colors to create emotions. So using that, I think, because my background is not in design, is not in anything creative, it was always felt rather than learned. So I think this is why, yes, I think I offer something different, because I don't have a background that's been kind of formed with, you know, the way things are normally done. So this is why color for me has always been the biggest tool, which again, for HMO works particularly well, because I always say to clients, well, look, to me, paint has as much effect, if not more, than the furnishing we're going to put into it. So sometimes they're like, okay, we don't have money to do any painting. Can you just concentrate on the furnishing part? I say, look, find me a bit of money. Let's maybe cut the budget on the furnishing. Find me some money a bit so that I can put some color on the walls. Because this is what also on photos is going to help you to stand out. It's going to help you to kind of carry this emotion through, you know, through the screen. So yes, I am passionate about colors.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think it's really great what you've done. And certainly when I've seen samples of your work, it's not just the colors that you use, but it's the way that you use them. It's the combination of colors. It's the areas of the room that you apply the colors to. It's the use of color in stripes or shapes that you apply in the room as well. These are kind of unique things. I suspect that in time, Fabienne, you'll be signing your walls, you know, a bit like Damien Hirst or Banksy. You'll be the new Banksy.
Love that, yeah.
So that's great, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you was your inspiration. Who or what inspires you? So you've talked about this Moroccan trip. Anything else that you can think of, you know, what inspires you even to this day? How do you find inspiration for the projects that you're doing?
Anywhere, I am constantly, and I think as I kind of went down this creative road, which I didn't even know was in me, you know, I booked this dress this morning because I thought we were going to be on YouTube, but we're not.
Well, you never know, I might surprise you, because you look too good just to be a face for radio, Fabienne.
So as I picked this dress, which I had for a few years now, I saw, you know, a couple of colors together. It was this brown and this fuchsia. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Basically, I just need to open my wardrobe to buy my stuff I had for 20 years. So now, like, paints, like even color, because, you know, you just need to look at even like art in general and print and artwork and to find color combination and the way color is used. And my mind is just triggered. Nature, anything can just help me to and when you say, you know, the way you use, it's not the color you use, it's how you combine them. And I have found that actually you can do pretty much anything as long as you maintain some kind of harmony and cohesion within the property. So I think as I started experiencing in my London flat, it gave me the chance to actually break some of these beliefs, like painting the ceiling. This is why I started, and that was, 2009, I started painting ceiling because I just thought, well, why not, actually?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I haven't seen that, but what stops me from doing that? And it was an orange ceiling, actually. And yes, and it's just breaking, I think, this belief, like the skirting board is white, the ceiling is white, and this is white. No, it's not said. And if anything, we should, because... and COVID has probably helped us even more to embrace that. It's not said that we have to do things. It's how we feel about the space we're in, not how it looks.
That's a very, very important point. Do you yourself invest in property?
So it's a bit of a painful question there, because I have, so that was 20 years ago. So I have this flat that I purchased in France, and it's been an awful investment. So yes, I do. But I'm still basically, so I'm selling it basically this month. It's happening after 20 years. And the plan, and this is the irony of it, I deal constantly, my clients are just property investors. And because all my money was in this, I've just seen a tail passing.
Yes, this is Mia, the cat, who likes to appear from time to time. Don't you, Mia? She hasn't yet actually been heard on the podcast, but she's certainly been seen on video.
So I've gonna have money coming in. So finally, I'm gonna be able to.
You can do your own project. But what I would say is, Fabienne, that there's lots of people who are in your position, wanting to get started. Perhaps they're doing some education. They might have a service-based business which services property investors, and yet they themselves are not. They haven't yet started investing in property themselves, or they've had a bad experience. And I think it does take time. I certainly think that, you know, being in property, it's a long-term goal. It's a long-term interest. And this is, of course, why I think that, you know, businesses like yourself that offer these services to people are incredibly helpful, because you're servicing an industry that is going to be here for a long time. New strategies come up from time to time. And in the last kind of 7 or 8 years, we've seen the growth of service accommodation. And to start with, of course, that's where you were slotting in. But now I think more people are recognizing that actually HMOs can borrow from that service accommodation, learning and that kind of industry, because of the, you know, it's a little bit quicker turnover. So, you know, what you've done for the industry is amazing. And I expect when you find the right property for yourself to invest in, you know, you will make it amazing. It's going to be an amazing space. So I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, well, look, I hope this, my plan would be really to, find a joint venture. It's something, I think something you're probably gonna ask me in terms of plan. I've been on my own doing that for quite some time, and I would love to be able to kind of bounce back ideas and kind of, so, you know, if I see myself doing that with someone, that would be kind of the ultimate goal.
Amazing. Great. In terms of projects, what's your favorite type of project to do?
What I love doing, because it's quick, it's cheap, and this is what makes often the most impact, it's working on refresh. So taking something that already has most of the furniture, often magnolia or white walls, and just try to lift everything and give it a complete different identity. I think, you know, I mean, I love looking at my own. I mean, I don't know how, you know, I love looking at before and after kind of photos. I think it's just so amazing to see the difference you can completely make into a room. So, and in fact, as I was preparing this this podcast with you, I remembered one of my first projects, which was an HMO, and it was a refresh magnolia wall. I used Vardo, actually, like your living room, to kind of try to have some accent walls. And I met one of the tenants there, and it was so interesting because it was a refresh. I mean, tiny, tiny budget. He was just trying to bring a bit of color. I worked on the layout, because I realized, as much as color and furnishing is important, the layout has also a massive role to play when it comes to zoning, right? And I met with a tenant there after the work was done. So there was fewer accent walls, and I changed the kind of set, layout of the living area, moved the table, the kitchen table, so they felt more like different zones, different atmosphere. Met one of the tenants, and she was like, "Oh, you're the one who's done that?" I said, "Yeah." And she was like, "I was just about to give my notice, because I didn't like the space. I feel, you know, as much as we get on with the people, it felt like there was no space for us to come together. It didn't feel like a home." She said, "You came and you did your thing, and actually, I'm going to stay." My client, wow. Actually, I've never told him this story. And for me, it's exactly that. It was, you know, how you can transform a place and how people feel in there, just by using a bit of paint, being mindful of the layout and how people are going to use the space to give them a complete different experience. And it was brilliant. It was one of the first projects, and amazing to already get this kind of own experience from this tenant.
And I think that's a really interesting reflection, which you've talked about already is the fact that color and paint and style and design and layout can make you feel very different about a space. And you know, I speak to many investors all the time, every week, for various different reasons. Some of them, they can't find the right property to buy. For some of them, they're struggling with the finance. For some of them, they're struggling with other issues. And one of the things that has been quite interesting for me in having my own eyes open to this is realizing that actually the space might meet all the requirements of all the licensing rules and regulations and building control, but actually it's the color, it's what you put into it, it's the design that can change the way you feel about it. It can make a cold space that might be heated by central heating radiators, but it still feels cold. Add some color, change the layout slightly, zone it, and you can have a totally different feeling in a room that makes you feel homely, warm, excited. You want to be in that space. You want to spend time in that space. And I've experienced that myself. And I think it's that recognition that the space can actually make you feel different if you use these tools and techniques.
Yes, and you know what? It's one of the messages I often have when I talk about interior and the impact in property investment, because by default, property investors, and without being stereotypical in the way the brain works, and our being a good property investor, I think there's, you know, you're more pragmatic, it's more about numbers. So I think the creative side often, it's not something that is, you know, in the forefront of the thinking. And because there's so much thinking about the process and the regulation and the due diligence and the financial side and all that, that as part of the property investment, in most of people's mind, the interior fluff is not something that actually seems to be taken as part of the property investment. And the message I often have when I speak about that is, as property investors, the interior and the experience and the feel and the atmosphere has to be fully part of the investment. Ultimately, it's the marketing tool. This is, you know, like as you look online to find, you know, a place where to stay, it's not knowing that, you know, all the boxes have been ticked in terms of regulation. Is how do you feel when you look at this photo? Do you want to be there? And it's, you know, it's only through colors and pattern and texture that you're gonna give that emotion.
Amazing. What's been your most unusual project, Fabienne?
Unusual project. Well, there was one which had a lot of learning in there, which was a modular pod that was lifted above, in fact, an HMO, three-story building, so lifted with a crane down into a garden, highly high-tech, pretty modern. And so that was interesting because the client wanted something, it was service accommodation, but the client wanted something very cozy and welcoming and elegant. And it was, again, a learning for me because it was so modern that it was the realization that I had to break almost a style, or rather integrate a modern contemporary style with something a lot softer. And this is when I started thinking, well, actually, again, I don't have to apply what generally people would do, which is, okay, this is modern, let's stick to modern. Well, actually, no, it's modern, let's break it a bit and let's add something else to the mix. So it was unusual for me, I think, in that way. It's how on the extreme end of the spectrum of contemporary this thing was, and actually how I ended up modifying the feel of it by just integrating softer colors and more like a boho romantic kind of vibe to it to create something completely different.
Interesting. That's really interesting. So in other words, you kind of borrowed from another style type to perhaps make the contemporary interior still work.
Yeah, so I married the two styles together, which me was, I didn't think as I started it, it was like, okay, how am I going to make it homely and inviting and elegant and romantic? I'm having something really modern here.
Interesting. I think that takes some level of skill to be able to do that, though. I don't think most people would find that at all. I certainly wouldn't find that easy to do at all.
It's I never felt like, well, I've never felt it like a skill. I felt it like more feeling the space, feeling the colors. And this is why I teach in the training I do, which is all about gaining confidence by learning some tools, understanding a bit more of the space, understanding a bit more of the colors, to actually being able to have the theory and letting a bit your own personality and your own taste kind of, you know, play with that foundation, if you want.
So it's actually partly your training is about people discovering their own creativity then.
Yes, and I love, 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 love that, to see, you know, I teach people, and what I love the most is when they start putting some photos of the project they do, because I can see, you know, I'm like, okay, I know exactly what you've done, and it's lovely to see that you're applying the stuff we learn. But then they come up with stuff which I know it's them, because like, I haven't told you that. And this is lovely. And people can then, because they've got the confidence, the clarity, the understanding, then they can have fun with it and be, you know, more like, okay, why? Maybe I could try that. And it's wonderful to see. And this is why I enjoy, I think, so much teaching, because it's not only about me saying, okay, you do this, you do that, da, da, da. No, it's basically opening a door to people to, okay, having some understanding to then be able to walk in through that door and use their own personality and their own creativity to do their own interiors.
And, you know, the one thing I've also learned is that nothing is permanent. So when you're using paint, particularly, if it doesn't work, it doesn't look right, you don't like the color, do you know what? Okay, you've lost a bit of time. You've perhaps, you know, you paid someone to do the painting. You've wasted a bit of money on the paint, but actually in the grand scale of things, that's a very small part of the overall costing. And if you need to change the color, or maybe you say to yourself, well, I don't quite like that color, but I'm not going to do anything about it, but in another year's time, once I've made some profit from my property, then I'll go back and redo it. Nothing is there forever, is it? You can always go back and change it.
Yeah, any change. I mean, you know, I hear about, you know, creating timeless interiors. I am not for that. It doesn't mean that, you know, I don't follow trends. You know, I don't know what the trends are, to be honest. It's not that. It's you want to create something that creates an emotion. That means in time, you might want to change that because you realize that maybe, you know, it needs just rejuvenating. There we go. A word I've never used. giving a bit of a different vibe. But, you know, I would say, based on the comment you said at the beginning, you know, that you know, this is not permanent, but also it's better, I think, to try something and to be like, oh, I'm not that happy with that. Maybe that the two color clashes. It's better to be in this position and try to amend that rather than going for a white wall, gray carpet, yellow cushion, and think, this is what, you know, like, this is not very interesting. This is, you know, it's better being bold and kind of rectify than being like very plain and standard and what is expected, and think, how am I going to stand out with that? Because even if I have a big red print, the base, the bones of this room, it's not very exciting.
That's a really good point. I think that's amazing, actually. It's very, very interesting. Really, really good. Thank you. In terms of your work, Fabienne, now that you're teaching other people, of course, your influence can go as far and wide as your teaching and your courses can be delivered. Mm-hmm. But in terms of if somebody wanted to work directly with you, which area do you cover?
I work, so thanks to COVID, I had to modify. So my business started in October 19. So you see the timing there. So I had a few projects where I actually did it locally, and I was hands-on doing the stuff. But very quickly, I had to move to plan B. So I work basically remotely and cover basically the whole country. So I very rarely visit sites unless it's a major project where I feel I need to see the space and feel the space. But I'm always happy basically using just layout, videos, photos, and that's enough for me to do my job. So if you've seen any photos of the work I've done on social media, that stuff I've done through my computer.
Excellent. So effectively you could advise on a project anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I would know as well. Yes, I should. Yeah, I never thought about it like that. But yes, I can.
You could be global. You could be global.
Yes, there you go. I could be global. Wendy, you're right.
Now, obviously, one of the tools that, or the personnel, should I say, that many of us would be employing to implement the designs that you might come and create, or we might create ourselves, having done your training, would be a painter and decorator. Can you give us some advice, or give the listeners some advice about how to work with a painter and decorator so that you have somebody who's kind of bought into the vision and is not going to stand there and go, oh, I don't like that color, and are you sure you want to put that on the skirting boards, you're not going to have white? Oh, I'm not so sure about that. What kind of advice could you give to somebody about working with painters and decorators?
Well, look, I'm going to tell you one of the slides I've got in my training, and I've made just one slide about that, and there's one sentence in there which is, don't listen to your decorator. I am often challenged by clients' decorator on choices of colors, on where I put, you know, what I do with it. I get challenged, and I always listen, because, you know, it's you know, at the same time, you want, they might have a view on the light coming through the flat, or, you know, they might have an experience that they're like, well, actually, I might consider that. But this is why confidence and clarity in what you do is so important, because then you can have anyone saying anything, but you know that what you're doing is right. And there's a reason, and you've considered the choices you've made, so that anything can happen, it doesn't matter. This is what you're going to do. So the best advice I can give is that, be clear on your vision and what you're doing, and then just, the decorator is there to just execute your vision.
So you need to be quite firm and assertive with your painter and decorator, but you also need to listen to them from the point of view they might actually have something to add in terms of how they see the space. But I mean, ultimately, you're paying them, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I just had, you know, literally yesterday I had a conversation with a painter on a project I'm doing, and he was just basically, I've painted, so I asked to have the ceiling painted and kind of going down by a couple of feet on the wall, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And he was calling me to say, well, actually, in the kitchen, the cabinet at the top is at certain height. Is it not better if we try to match the? And it's like, perfect. Yes, of course. Thank you very much for that feedback, actually. Yes, let's do that. So, listen, because they might have actually point out absolutely relevant that you might have missed. But at the same time, in terms of the essence of the design, stick to it, because ultimately I think most people, and decorator including, will try to go down the safe road. By being safe, this is not how you're going to stand out. This is not how you're going to attract people.
So have the courage of your convictions.
Yes.
And be bold and stand out.
Yay.
that's a very good catchphrase. I love it, Fabian. That's wonderful. Finally, tell me about where you see yourself. This is probably the toughest question of the interview. Where do you see yourself in 3 years' time?
Yes, I was telling you earlier, this question is, I've been pretty much going with the flow for quite some time now, but I need to have some kind of plan. So as I said, I'm gonna get some money back from this investment. I'm looking into putting my pension into SAS. So I want to start investing. So this is something personally I want to start doing. More with regard to the interior, I want to teach more broadly, because I can, you know, having started doing that, I've seen the difference. I've seen not only there's two elements, my personal kind of motivation, it's seeing how people, you know, how they enjoy the process, how they get, you know, creative and confidence and try things, and how delighted, you know, it's just lovely to see. But obviously also increase, you know, improve the investment, which we haven't talked much about, but in terms of result, you know, you get to the point of, you know, doubling your revenues. The number are there, and clients share their result with me. And this is why I'm so excited about the work I do, because I know it makes a true difference, not only in the in my clients' pocket, but also in the experience that their guests and tenants are gonna have. So I want to spread that as much, as far as and as big as I can, because I know it can really make a difference.
And that ultimately, however much a property might make you feel as a tenant or a guest, when you're the owner of the property and it's a business, the bottom line is really what counts, isn't it?
Exactly. And this conversation would not happen if we were just talking about color and emotion and fluff. And I have sometimes to bring it down because I'm like, look, it's all about numbers, Fabienne. So stay with the numbers. So when I present that in a, you know, in different forum, you know, I talk about the fluff and I want people to see what I'm talking about, but then it's down to numbers. Show me the money. What are we talking about? It's property investment. We're not doing creative stuff. But at the same time, once the two kind of come together, this is when you can really, well, improve basically your baseline, like you just said.
Interestingly, I visited one of our seven bed HMOs just about a week ago, and I went into the hallway, and it's got a very nice wooden floor in the hallway. It's beautiful, actually. It's got a brown carpet going up the stairs and into the landing. Not very nice. It needs a good deep clean. The walls were what's called bisque tint. This was the colour that we used. And we painted this property, I don't know, 5, maybe 7 years ago. And as I walked in, and I can't even remember why I called in. I think I just called in on spec to see what it was like. It was just a kind of very, very quick inspection. And I just thought, you know what? This hall, stairs and landing, because it's a three-story property, so it's a tall property. This just needs a refresh. And I thought, green. I'm going to paint it green. And it's going to be a lovely, subtle green, which is it's a sort of fern green kind of colour. And so I messaged my painter and decorator and I said, you know, how are you fixed next week? He said, well, funnily enough, I've just had a cancellation of a job that was 4 days long. So I think I can fit your job in. So he gave me a quote and I said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. Go ahead. And I told him the colour of the paint, got the paint. And I went down there today, earlier this morning. And it is like a totally different space, Fabienne. Not only do the walls look fantastic, in fact, I'll perhaps put some pictures up onto this, which I think will be a YouTube video now.
No.
As well, you as a podcast.
I would have put some makeup on. That's not fair.
No, you look beautiful. You can't upstage me, okay? I haven't got any makeup on. So, you know, you are not allowed makeup either. But actually, this space, not only do the walls look much better because obviously they're freshly painted and this lovely, lovely green colour, it actually brings out the wood floor. It brings out that brown of the wood floor. And even the carpet, which I had thought, oh, should we change the carpet because it looks a bit manky? I'm just going to get, we've got a company that we use to do deep cleans. They can come in and do a deep clean of the carpet. And even the woodwork, which the painter decorator hasn't even painted yet. I said, oh, look at the white. Because it is white woodwork. Look at the white. Doesn't it really pop? And he said, I haven't even done that yet, Wendy. That's not even painted. But the difference just in having the walls done. Wow, what a difference. So I can completely testify to what you're saying, that I know, although it's only hall, stairs and landing, it's the communal area. I think when we have a vacancy, which we don't at the moment, but when we do, somebody's going to go in and go, do you know what? This is very inviting. It feels warm. It feels modern. It feels contemporary. And actually the message it sends is that this investor, landlord, cares about
the
property.
There we go. That
comes and that's with the impact.
There we go. And exactly. And when you say impact, I was going to say, yeah, the power of color, and also how all the attributes and all this kind of unconscious stuff that it conveys with it. And is that it's the care, it's the welcome, it's all these things that make you want to be there. And
yeah,
this is how, you know, and that is difficult to put a number on that. I mean, I've got clients' results to put numbers on, but it's difficult to actually gauge how much of a difference it can make in someone's mind.
Yeah, definitely. But obviously, it does make a very, very big impact. Yeah. And that's what your work is there to create. And Fabienne, you do it amazingly well.
Thank you.
Well, look, it's been great to interview you again. Thank you so much for being here today,
Pleasure.
Fabienne. Is there
Thank
anything you would like to add? Is there anything you would like to post people to or to point them to? I will put some links in the notes from today. Is there anything you would like to say?
No, look, apart from you've mentioned it, the group, I think it's a fab place because it's just, you know, there's so many property investors, different strategy. There's loads of interior professionals. So you get, you know, comments and feedback on, you know, project you might have. And my training, I'm going to move now to like an online format. So by next year, I'm going to have something else available. So there again, for people who are interested, I think you're going to put my website on your on the link. So it's, what is it called again? Fabian Interiors. Fabian Interiors. And there's a, yeah, there's a course section in there, and it's coming basically.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well, I know everybody is going to love that. And if you're listening to this podcast today, this will be a YouTube video.
Oh, Wendy. Did you lie to me at the beginning? Was I to take the pressure off or something?
That's why we had a lovely relaxed time, because neither of us are worried about what we look like. I think the point about it being on YouTube as well is that we can put some pictures up. So Fabian, I will get some photos from you of projects you've done before and after. I'm sure you've got many of those. And I will put up some images of the projects I've talked about as well today, because this is about seeing. We have to see those interiors, don't we? And I think although it works wonderfully well as a podcast, I think anybody who is listening today might be also thinking, do you know, I'd love to see those visual images as well. So I think we should both rise to the challenge and say to ourselves, you know, it doesn't matter that we haven't got our makeup on. What matters most is giving good content to people who are listening and giving them value.
We're doing that for you. We're forgetting about ourselves.
Exactly. You can blame me. Brilliant. Well, listen, Fabian, thank you so much for your time today. It's absolutely brilliant to see you again, and even just to see your own setting. And maybe next time you see this interior, there might be a bit of a change on this back wall, because you've already given me some advice about that. Anyway, lovely to have you on. Thank you so much, Fabian. And I'll be in touch soon.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye. Bye. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.